All right, good morning, Providence. I realize my time has already begun. My name is Rahil, and it's an utmost pleasure to see all of you here and also the folks who are joining us on Zoom. I am the part of Elder Team at Providence. I, along with my wife, Mavish, migrated to the United States in the summer of 2018. Presently, we live in Central Park, and the Lord has blessed us with two beautiful kids, Iman, who's 5 years old, and I like to call him Mini-Me, but his name is Lucas. He's 7 months old, so we're grateful. At Providence, at present, we are in a sermon series, which is focusing on the epistle of Hebrews. An epistle is a long, formal letter. And this epistle that we are focusing on is traditionally attributed to Paul, although modern scholars question this attribution. Some scholar believes that it was written for Jewish Christians who were facing persecution in Jerusalem. At that time, certain believers were considering to reverting back to Judaism and to the Jewish system of law to escape being persecuted for believing Jesus is the Messiah. The theme of perseverance is very close to my heart. As I come from a country, Pakistan, where faith-based minorities in general and Christians in particular are persecuted for their faith. In a country of around 240 million, Christians are approximately 3.8 million and are about 1% of the whole population. Teeny tiny minority, but compared to numbers, that's a lot. As the today's sermon is the fourth in this series, The Leader You Long For, which I'm hopeful will go on till Sunday before Thanksgiving. Before today, which is the fourth sermon in this series, we were blessed by sermons led by presented by Hunter Hambrick, Ray Brim, and of course, we had the pleasure of listening to Josh Larson last week. And just to do a little announcement about next Sunday, we will be joined by Dr. Darlene Seal, who is an associate professor of New Testament at the Denver Seminary and holds a PhD in Christian theology and biblical studies from McMaster Divinity College in Ontario, Canada. She's an up-and-coming, that's what Hunter told me, she's an up-and-coming scholar and a recognized expert in the book of Hebrews. We are honored to hear from her, and she'll be focusing on Hebrews chapter 4, primarily from verses 14 and then, of course, to the 10th verse of chapter 5. I would like to invite you to join us, just like today, next Sunday, to come in. Hear us. All right. Coming back to the epistle or our Hebrews, the book that we are focusing on. The main theme of this epistle is the teaching of the person of Jesus Christ and his role as a mediator between God and humanity. His life, his death, and his resurrection. The epistle opens up with an exaltation of Jesus as radiance of God's glory, the express image of his being, and upholding all things by his powerful word. The epistle presents Jesus with the titles pioneer, forerunner, son, son of God, priest, and high priest. I hope this was a helpful introduction to Hebrews and also made you realize how smart, cool, and knowledgeable I am. To be honest, you can see the pile of books I have here, and of course, I also use the World Wide Web to get this introductory information in Hebrews, because it always helps you to know what you are reading and why you are reading and what time it was written in. So basically, I just wanted to use that dad joke, as my CGT tells me my jokes mostly are, to encourage you to use modern technology that is available to us, and also some amazing, amazing books. We live in an extraordinary time when it comes to content and knowledge. So use that. If you need help with that, you can reach out to me or any other elder or staff member. And of course, As I said, the World Wide Web is full of good information that you can gather and maybe preach a sermon someday. Anyhow, today we will be delving deeper into Hebrews. So the reference that was given to me, it was much longer than what I asked Amelia to read. It's Hebrews chapter 3, begins at verse 7 and then goes up to chapter 4, up till the 13th verse. But I only ask her to read the chapter 3 part, which is primarily a quotation from Psalm 95. And we'll go into that. It's a passage that basically presents us both with a solemn warning and a beautiful promise. This is one of the five warning passages in Hebrews. By the way, I just made this table. You don't have to write it down. If you see the QR code next to it, you can just scan it and access my whole sermon manuscript. Last time when I offered the QR code, when I was blessed like with the opportunity to preach here, my phone was lying here and I suffered a silent, like a little earthquake, because suddenly there were 24 notifications of people wanting access to my manuscript. Today, I made sure I make it public so I don't get all those notifications. I was so tempted to stop in between and just like give everybody access. The reason I'm sharing this with you, so you can read it, go through it. If you like it, if it's a blessing for you, that's awesome. If you want to talk about it, oh my God, I love it. I love having coffee and having conversations. Just ask my CG and they will tell you that. So this section of Hebrews calls us to consider the seriousness of unbelief and disobedience, as well as the glorious rest that God has prepared for those who trust in Him. It is an invitation to enter into God's rest, both now and in the life to come. All right, before we transition into teaching, I would encourage you to open your Bibles. If you use your phone to do that, feel free to do that. If you want to, if you need a Bible, I have mine right here, an amazing, amazing, beautiful Bible that was gifted to me by this amazing congregation when I became an elder in December. So if you want to use that, it is also available. So I'm going to try to quickly walk through all of you, and we're going to do it together, go verse by verse. So the first part of this reference is Hebrews, which is chapter 3, 7 to 11. It begins with the quotation, as I mentioned, from Psalm 95, verses 7 to 11. And I will also be reading this, so you can, if you want to listen, you can listen. Today, and this is what Amelia read, if you hear His voice, do not harden your hearts as you did in rebellion during the time of testing in the wilderness, where your ancestors tested and tried me, though for 40 years they saw what I did. The writer of Hebrews immediately draws our attention to the example of Israelites in wilderness, a story which serves here as a cautionary tale. Despite experiencing God's miraculous deliverance from Egypt and His provision in the wilderness, the Israelites, unfortunately, continually doubted God's goodness, and their hearts were hardened by unbelief. As we go further and read verses 10 and 11, we read, "That is why I was angry with that generation. I said, their hearts are always going astray, and they have not known my ways. So I declared on oath in my anger, they shall never enter my rest." Folks, this is a strong reminder to us that the Israelites had the opportunity to enter the promised land, but because of their unbelief and disobedience, they were barred from entering God's rest. The warning is clear. Unbelief leads to loss of God's promised rest. This is not just about ancient history. It is the timeless truth. If we harden our hearts, we too can miss out on what God has promised us. Next, the author shifts to a present-day application of this lesson. When we go to verse 12, it reads, "See to it, brothers and sisters, that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God." Now, the focus is on us. The author wants us to be careful that we do not develop a heart of unbelief. Unbelief is not merely intellectually doubting something. It is turning away from a living God. The Israelites' failure to enter God's rest was not just due to ignorance. It was due to a heart that turned away from trusting God. And when we turn to verse 13, it offers us a remedy. And I love this part. But encourage one another daily, as long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. The call here is for mutual accountability within the community of believers, where we have to encourage each other daily. Sin is deceptive. It doesn't. It hardens. It can harden our hearts in a very subtle manner and gradually. That is why fellowship and mutual encouragement is so crucial, and we need each other to stay on the path of faith and obedience. And when I was reading through this, it just brought to me this idea about why we have community groups at Providence. Community groups are groups that meet throughout the week in this beautiful city of ours in different areas on different days. I am also part of a community group, and I'm surrounded with some amazing, amazing people who encourage me, of course, but also hold me accountable so that I stay on a path of faith and obedience. So if you are not yet a part of community group, reach out to Providence staff. You can talk with me. You can talk with any of the elders to gather more information about it. We also have a page on the website which is dedicated to community groups, because this is so important. The Bible says that. We have just read about it. And when we go further in this reference, we are given a profound statement about the nature of true faith. We have come to share in Christ if indeed we hold our original conviction firmly to the very end. Folks, genuine faith is characterized by perseverance. The faith that serves is the faith that endures. The Israelites had a form of faith in the beginning, but as they followed Moses out of Egypt, but they did not persevere in their trust. But we are grateful to God that he has a promise of rest which still stands. In chapter 4, the author begins to explain the deeper significance of the rest that is being offered. In verse 1, it says, "Therefore, since the promise of entering his rest still stands, let us be careful that none of you be found to have fallen short of it." The promise of entering God's rest is still available today. The rest is more than just a promised land. It represents a deeper spiritual reality that includes peace with God, freedom from the burden of sin, and ultimately, eternal life in his presence. Verse 2 makes an important point. It says, "For we also have had the good news proclaimed to us, just as they did. But the message they heard was of no value to them, because they did not share the faith of those who obeyed." Folks, it is important to hear the gospel, but it is not enough. The message must be combined with faith. The Israelites, they heard God's promises, but because they did not believe, the promises were of no benefit to them. Similarly, we must not only hear God's word, but respond in faith. In verses 3 to 5, the writer reinforces that those who believe will enter God's rest, while those who remain in unbelief will be excluded. Now, we who have believed enter that rest, just as God has said, "So I declared on oath in my anger, they shall never enter my rest." This contrast between belief and unbelief is basically the heart of this passage that we are focusing on. And now let's talk about the deeper rest that God promises us. In verse 6 to 10, the author expands on the concept of rest. He points out that the rest God promises, it is not just limited to the past, such as when the Israelites failed to enter the promised land, or even to a Sabbath day of rest. It says, "There remains then a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For anyone who enters God's rest also rests from their works. just as God did from his. The Sabbath rest mentioned here is the eternal rest we enter through faith in Christ. It is the ultimate fulfillment of God's promise, which includes peace in this life and eternal rest in the life to come. This rest is both a present reality and a future hope. In Christ, we find rest from guilt and burden of sin, but we also look forward to the final rest when we will be with him in glory. And while I'm talking about Sabbath, folks, I would like to encourage you to embrace and practice the spiritual practice of a spiritual rhythm of having one. As a family, we started keeping this rhythm about 2 years ago, and now we have experienced so many blessings through it. How we do it is that we begin, we have 24 hours designated throughout the week. We begin on Friday at 6 p.m., and then we end at Saturday 6 p.m., so that's 24 hours. And during these 24 hours, we not only spend time with our Lord, but we also spend time with each other through family activities. And I must confess, but I think I should say it this way, we try to stay away from screens as much as we can. I would not say we haven't reached that goal of totally minusing screens, but we try to do that. So if I don't text you back from Friday 6 p.m. to Saturday 6 p.m., you know what I'm up to. And when we basically, how we got encouraged by it, when Mavish and I became CG leaders, we were gifted this book. And it's an awesome, awesome book if you want to have some spiritual disciplines. And one of the disciplines that is mentioned in this book is Sabbath. And there were some really interesting questions in here that really made me and Mavish reflect on it and decide to begin this spiritual rhythm. So I thought I'll bring those questions here. The first was, what difficulties or compulsions make it hard for you to stop? I think it was our way of life. We were just so used to just going on and on. How does taking a Sabbath enhance your enjoyment and worship of God? Stopping and reflecting is amazingly enjoyable and like inspiring and makes our life more blessed. What makes a Sabbath time nourishing and replenishing to you? I think just to slow down and reflect how the Lord loves us, that brings me so much nourishing and replenishing. What happens to you when you go without regular rhythms that allow you to rest in God? Oh, we absolutely miss it. After 2 years, you miss it if you don't do that time, and you're like, something is missing. So I also have a copy of this book if you want to come and see, or if you want to borrow, you're more than welcome, as long as you promise to return it to me. And I will also be available at the end at the front desk if you want to come and talk more about this. All right. Let's go to we are in chapter 4 right now, and I am going to reflect on verses 11 to 13, where the author gives us both a line of action and a reminder. Let us, therefore, make every effort to enter that rest, so that no one will perish by following their example of disobedience. So warning, but also a call to diligence. The command here is to strive or to be diligent to enter God's rest. The striving is not about working for salvation, but about maintaining a posture of faith, obedience, and perseverance. The passage concludes with a reflection on the nature of God's word, where it says, "For the word of God is alive and active." I love it. It's such a reassuring thing for me that even in this time where I'm alive, for the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Folks, God's word is not static or dead. It's alive and powerful. It reveals the true condition of our hearts and exposes our thoughts and motives. As we seek to enter God's rest, we must allow his word to shape us, to convict us, and to lead us into deeper faith and obedience. You just heard Josh mention the Read, Pray, Gather guide. I just want to say that again. This year we started this journey to go through the scripture. We'll be reading through the entire Bible once and New Testament twice. As he mentioned before, Next quarter begins in October. So far, if you have not joined in, this is a good time to join in. It has been a huge blessing for me. I mean, what I love about it, I read the word, of course, but this has made me much more consistent. And the best part I love is there are several of us who are doing it together. So sometimes when we are just conversing, we share that, we talk about it, and I learn so much new things, so many new perspectives. Some folks are blessed with so much depth, and I love that part. So I just want to encourage you at this point to join in if you haven't so far. And another way that I really like how I stay diligent and experience the power of God's word is through singing of psalms. So the gentleman that you see a photo of is a pastor from India. His name was Dr. I.D. Shehbaz. And he, in 1908, he was a Presbyterian pastor. And in 1908, he basically translated, converted, and musically arranged all the 150 psalms into a hymn book. I have this hymn book right here. It has psalms. And started a tradition, basically, in Indian church, and of course, later on, Pakistani church as well, when we got partitioned in 47. Whenever we have a Sunday service or whenever there are Christians gathering and doing worship, at least we will sing one or two psalms. Why this was important? It was absolutely a game changer because majority of Christians at that time were illiterate. So they were not able to read the Bible because the Bible was written in a much more different language. It's called Urdu, while the area where I come from, we speak a different language, which is called Punjabi, and it's written very differently. So when he translated that, it gave believers an opportunity who cannot read to memorize the word in the form of songs. My grandparents were not literate, but I would hear my grandmother sing these, and then my grandfather used to play flute, so he will play these on his flute. I mean, I didn't hear that, but I hear from my parents. And these were the first lullabies that I heard, and my kids are hearing the same thing. All right, and what I scanned on this side is basically Psalm 95. Remember, the sermon began with Psalm 95 because there was a quotation. So this is Psalm 95, and I have a sore throat, but it will still not stop me from singing a little part of it because it brings me so much joy. And I'm just going to close my eyes because my parents made sure that these lyrics I know even before I was able to read, and I hope my kids do the same thing. So I'm just going to quickly sing part of it. Je aj de din sab sunde ho awaz Yehova di na pathar vangar apne dil banao tu sivi. So whenever my heart is in trouble, these psalms make me diligent and keep me on the path and remind me how loving our God is. So I'm just grateful for all these warriors of faith who came before me and made sure that I have enough information and contact to keep me on track. So I thought I'll share this thing with you. So folks, in summary, Hebrews 3, from beginning from verse 7 up till chapter 4, verse 13, presents us with a very profound message. The invitation to enter God's rest is still open, but it requires faith, obedience, and perseverance. The Israelites in the wilderness serve as a warning to us. Unbelief will keep us from the blessings God has promised. But for those who trust in Christ, a glorious rest awaits. I think I should read this whole part so I don't start crying. As mentioned earlier, I come from a place where persecution of faith-based minorities is a commonplace. Mind you, persecution has many faces. It could be in the form of physical violence, psychological violence, and the most prevalent in the Pakistani society, structural violence. In 2018, Mavish and I had to leave home to migrate to the United States. I remember how hard my heart was towards God. He didn't leave me alone, by the way. His presence was always by me. I can hear him when I read the word, but praying was hard because I was not ready to talk to him. As in my anger and weakening of belief, I was unable to see his plan. I had no idea that God had identified a community for me in this city where on the 14th day of September in the year 2024, I will be sharing God's word. So thank you for being my community where I can strive along with you in faith, where I can read the word along with you, pray with you, confess my sins with you, seek help, guidance, and counseling, and in general, do life along with you. This is the rest I have been blessed with as I see and experience Christ in you. And folks, if you want this rest, I encourage you today to strive for it. At this moment of time, I would like to invite the worship team to come forward and set up to lead us in the closing song. And while they are doing that, I would like us to bow our heads, spend some time in silence, and pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the promise of rest in you. Lord, help us to not harden our hearts, but to respond with faith and obedience. May we trust in your word and persevere in our walk with you. Lead us into your eternal rest. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.